It's time for the Phonology Show.
It is. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are coming into the month of March, and there are a lot of things that happen in March, and we'll get to those in just a moment. But I want to catch you up on a couple of things that came across my life this past week. I spent the weekend down in the Twin Cities helping my son work on his house, and whenever I was outside, I could hear the cardinals singing everywhere, and so the cardinals are definitely singing, and if you live in an area up here where there are cardinals, you should be listening for their song. It's pretty fantastic, and both the male and the female cardinals sing. It's really quite exciting, so get out, listen to the cardinals, listen for the cardinals, and see how that can cheer you up. It's a really lovely song early in the year. The trip to and from the cities was eventful, as it always is. Driving across those big glacial lake bottoms from Aiken to Grand Rapids, or from Grand Rapids to Duluth or Floodwood, and even from Grand Rapids to Bemidji and north of Bemidji up that way up towards, I imagine the kids up in Baudette are probably really experiencing it as well. The willows and the red osier dogwoods are so bright right now. The colors are so magnificent. And each species of willow seems to have different colors. And yesterday, as I was driving along, there was this area where maybe it had been burned, maybe it had been cut, I don't know, but there were thousands of these, I'd say 2 to 3 foot tall willow sprigs that were probably pretty much unbranched. They're young and they were so colorful. They were like lime green at the bottom, fading to a sort of an orangey red at the top, and they were just stunning. I almost wanted to stop the car and try to get a picture, because in some cases, you know, it really is beautiful, but somehow the pictures never quite turn out the way your eye takes it all in. So if you're driving around this morning, if you're going to work or going to school or wherever you're headed, check out the willows. They are absolutely stunning right now. And every once in a while, you're going to see some bright red, almost scarlet. These are like fire engine red bushes, and those are the red osier dogwoods, and they are as beautiful as the willows, and just not as plentiful. But where you have them, they jump right out at you. So if you're driving along and there's some bright red bushes along the edge of the road, red osier dogwood, and they are going to be absolutely stunning for the next couple of weeks before things begin to leaf out. I mentioned earlier that I was going to be talking about the raven, my favorite bird, my favorite animal, and yesterday when I got home, I got out of my car, and there was a raven probably 50 yards, 60 yards away, sitting at the top of a white spruce tree, and it was making the most unusual noises. I mean, it started off kind of cawing like a crow, and I thought, is that a crow or a raven? And then it went into this repertoire of song or voice vocalizations that was just unbelievable. Part of it sounded like a barking dog, and some of it sounded like a train going toot, 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 and just this crazy, crazy noise. And I thought, what is he doing? Why? What's all this about? And then suddenly, right over the house and not much higher than the trees around me, so probably like within 100 feet of the ground, a bald eagle soared over. And the bald eagle went across my yard and into the swamp, and then turned and flew over and landed in its nest, which I can see from my house. And that, I think, had the raven worked up. Now, years ago, the nest was in a different direction, also near my house, also visible from my house, but a different nest in a different direction. And the raven had a nest on my property in the tree farm. And whenever the eagle came in, the raven had this call that he made, which was kind of a keck, 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 keck. And he would make that call. And whenever he made that call, I knew that the eagle was nearby. And the raven would get up and chase the eagle until it got just about over the top of my house, which seemed to be the border between their two territories. And then the raven would turn and go back to his nest, and the eagle would continue on to its nest. So lots of interactions between ravens and eagles, though I don't think that they're combative to one another. Although I would imagine that if a raven had the chance, he'd steal an eagle egg. He would. He's not above that. He's got that larceny in his heart. The last note I have from a little hike I took yesterday when I got home was that the snow has melted away from the trunks of the trees in the woods, and this includes aspens and everything else. And you may recall the last time we had this a heavy snowfall, I had told you, now as the snow settles, it's going to make these collars that are going to be sort of standing up around all the trees. And that was probably at the first part of February. And there were these collars standing up around all the trees. Well, it's completely reversed now. And if you walk out in the woods today and look at a tree trunk, you're going to see that within about 3 or 4 inches of the trunk, the snow is melted back. And that's because, of course, the trunks are much warmer than the surrounding snow. And when the sun hits them, and as Kari and I mentioned earlier, the sun is up and strong this time of year, it will melt that snow back even on a day that the temperature may not get much above 32. I wanted to finish off the show today by mentioning some things that the month of March brings out, and you're going to be inundated with a lot of things this month. Most of these things are going to happen near the end of the month, but among them, this month, for some of you, you will see crows carrying sticks. Those are the males, and they're trying to tell the females, you know, honey, it's time we started building a nest and maybe got into this family kind of thing. And so watch for male crows to be carrying sticks around as a sort of an impetus to get their mates to start building nests. Goldfinches are going to start turning yellow. And down in the cities, I saw a couple of goldfinches that already had some little patches of yellow on them. And I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't happen up here as well. We will have maple syrup. Maple sap will begin to flow this month, so we'll be watching for that. My neighbor, Marvin Beer, says that the minute the snow is gone, the northern harriers return to northern Minnesota. So northern harriers will be here the day that the snow goes out. Saw-wet owls will begin to migrate back into northern Minnesota and start calling. Robbie Teegee over in at the North Shore Community School has heard already the call of the saw-wet owl, which is a lot like a backup alarm on a truck. It's a single note whistled repeatedly, and believe me, once they start doing this, once they get into an area and they want to establish a territory and attract a mate, they can go on all night long, and it's kind of a and it just keeps going. It doesn't stop. So listen for the saw-wet owl. Toward the end of the month, it starts with robins, red-winged blackbirds. Before them, juncos will be back in the area. But then it's robins, red-winged blackbirds, killdeer, Canada geese, grackles, bluebirds, blue herons, purple finches, red-tailed hawks, snow buntings. We'll see the last of the snow buntings. And then if you're along the river or along any bit of open water, you're going to see common golden eyes. You're going to see, and these are among my favorites, the hooded mergansers. They're not a very big duck, but they are absolutely gorgeous. The males have this cockade on the back of their head that is bright white, trimmed in black. And then on their side, they've got white and black down below. And, oh, they're just gorgeous. And whenever somebody looks at a picture of a hooded merganser, they go, those things are around here? And the truth is, yeah, they are. But they're seldom seen except in the spring when they're trapped on the available open water, which is, in this case, in this area, the Mississippi River. So if you're along the river, watch for the hooded mergansers. They are beautiful. Mallards are going to come back. Let's see, among the ducks. Oh, well, Canada geese, I might have mentioned. Yeah, they're just going to be a lot of waterfowl that are going to come back. Blue herons will be back at the end of the month. Interestingly, over the years, the average date for the return of the robin is the 24th of March, but the range goes from the 6th of March to the 10th of April. And in the case of the blue herons, the range runs from the 23rd of March to the 4th of April. And it's just, you know, blue herons are so consistent. I just tell people by the 1st of April, the blue herons will be back in northern Minnesota, and it doesn't matter the weather. It's going to be right around the 1st of April. So they must return based on photo period, whereas the robins return based on temperature. And if it's a warm spring, they'll be back earlier. And if it's a late spring, they'll be back later. Right now, we're setting up like a early spring, and we will talk to Tornado Bob and find out if that's going to hold true later on this morning. And if that's the case, then I would start looking for robins around the third week in March here in the Grand Rapids area. We'll see. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. Come back again next week, and you'll hear more of the same old blather.
Phenology Show every Tuesday here on KAXE, KBXE, our mix of national news and local features with John Latimer. John, I just wrote a couple notes about the hooded merganser.
Yeah.
I think we saw one in the river last year right outside the KAXE studios.
And yes, we did.
Because Jennifer and I kept seeing this really stark black and white features on this bird, and we could not figure out what it was. And you helped us figure that one out.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous duck.
And then you were also talking about within the herons and the robins, photo period. What is that versus
that's
the temperature?
Number of hours of daylight.
Oh, okay.
So the thing that makes me think that is that the blue herons, regardless of the weather, I mean, 2012 was the warmest spring ever, and 2013 was the coldest spring. When I say ever, I mean in my records.
Right.
So 2012 was my earliest spring, and 2013 was my latest spring, and the blue herons were back within a couple of days of each other. It's just, they don't care.
Yeah.
They just know that if there's 12 hours of sunlight or 11 hours of sunlight, it's time to come north. And they'll little streams that lead into the Mississippi, any place there's moving water and there's open water, they will congregate and hang out there, and they will feed there. And so their return is really reliable.
Yeah.
I would guess. I would be thoroughly shocked if we don't have somebody who reports blue herons back in the Brainerd area, probably by the third week or fourth week in March. And for sure, in that last week of March and the first few days of April, there will be blue herons all over the Grand Rapids area.
Yeah. It's the Phenology Show with John Latimer. And as always, we'd love to hear your observations in nature. You can send those to comments at KAXE.org or JLatimer@KAXE.org. I'm Kari Hedlund, sitting in for Heidi Holton today. And thanks for joining us.